This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Primal Potential is about you. Your ability to change is not defined by yesterday and doesn't need to wait until tomorrow. Your transformation is now. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I'm here with Chris.
Hi.
What were you going to say?
I don't know.
You looked really weird right there.
Because you said, Chris, while I was reading the top of the email with the questions.
Oh, okay. Sorry to disturb you.
Oh, are we doing that now?
We're doing it now. We're here. We're on. This is it. This is the real deal.
Oh,
this is not a dress rehearsal.
Oh, boy. I didn't know we were recording.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay.
Yeah.
I made sea bass.
You did.
For dinner.
It was cold sea bass.
No, it wasn't. Why are you saying it was cold?
It's chili sea bass.
Oh.
It was delicious. I enjoyed it.
It was funny. I came home and I got it at Whole Foods, which means I got a discount because I'm an Amazon Prime member.
Yeah. And this was discounted.
Well, it was like, it was normally for 2 pounds was like $67. I think I got it for like 53 or something.
52 and change.
Yeah. Oh. So I come home and I'm kind of like chuckling about how expensive it was. And Chris's first response is like, well, you better not screw it up.
Yeah.
I mean, if you spend them. And then I was like, damn it, I'm not good at cooking meat. Like, this is a problem.
And unfortunately, I don't know anything about cooking it either. So I couldn't even help. I'm just like, all right.
Maybe it was all right.
I thought it was delicious.
It was fine. Just butter and salt. Nothing else.
Oh, what else do you need?
Anyway.
Could have put bacon in there. I mean, that's about the only thing that can make butter better.
Yeah, we didn't though. Anyway, well, Chilean sea bass is so like rich.
Oh yeah, no, I'm just saying, because butter makes everything better and bacon does too.
You know what we're gonna give away today?
I do. I was reading that, which caught me off guard when you said I'm with Chris.
Not edge,
but we're mentioning edge right now.
We're mentioning it because
it's coming soon.
Messages I've gotten. You know how many people internationally are like, can you send me some? And here's what I did.
Yes, we can. $100 shipping.
Well, no, here's what I did. Because I got so many messages from people, because Amari only ships to the USA right now.
Do we ship to Mexico? I think they ship to Mexico, too.
Well, yeah, but that's a separate thing, and Mexico doesn't have Edge.
Oh, see?
Yeah. But anyway, so many people reached out that I was like, because shipping is stupid.
It is.
Shipping is
absolutely ridiculous.
It really is. So I said minimum two. Plus shipping.
Yeah.
But we are getting like a mammoth order for just us, and I have to make sure that I keep at least three in back stock because I think I'm going to be a three scoop a day person.
I'm going to be at least a tour. And you'll have it more than once a day, which is the big thing.
Yeah.
I'll have mine all at once.
Right. But I'm like,
unless I bring a thing with me to work.
I'm like, no, you don't understand. Because I got to use more of the pre-sample that we got than you did.
Because you got the pre-sample.
Right, because I earned it. But once you are taking it regularly, like, you're going to be obsessed. Anyway, but no, that's not what we're going to give away today because
I don't want to give any more away, to be honest.
Until we have our solid personal back stock.
For a three-year back stock, I agree.
At least six-unit back stock.
Yeah.
But what we're going to give away is just as cool, almost. Almost as cool.
Pray tell.
Changemaker's Journal.
I read that too.
Yeah. Well, I just removed the shipping in the USA, so it now ships free in the US. You didn't know that, did you?
I did not know that.
I know. And he's always like, why do you do those things? Because I'm nice. Because I'm nice. Because it's called generosity, Chris. You're welcome.
Good news. You no longer have to pay shipping, but the book's $75.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I did not change the price of the Changemaker Journal.
Even if you did. Even if you had, it's a tool that people will use constantly.
Yeah, and the reviews and people are sharing are like bonkers. I need to get them up on the website.
But no, it's not $75. I jest.
Yes, no. We remove shipping in the U.S. You still pay shipping in international because we still lose money on that because it's freaking bonkers what it costs.
International
us.
Is just
let's get
a
to their questions.
Shot to the foot.
We'll announce the winner of the Changemaker's Journal at the end of today's episode.
Okay.
Let's
we can do that.
In. First right. question's like a paragraph.
It is a long one.
Can you do your best to read well?
No. I don't know if you've seen any of those ads popping up on social media about hormone-based weight loss program.
Yes.
Anyway, one of the main points of the ad is saying HIIT-style workouts make it harder to lose weight for women. HIIT is high-intensity
interval training.
Interval training.
Well done, sir.
And this goes against almost everything you taught us when it comes to exercise for fat loss. Just wondering if you've seen these in your feed. It's a dude talking about getting female hormones balanced for optimal weight loss, which is, I find, a little cringy. To be honest, I find that cringy too.
I don't at all. What, you have to be a woman to sell a hormone program for women? Like, I don't find that cringy at all.
Well, I mean, you gotta...
That's like, I mean, come on. No.
I'd feel better if it was a woman telling a woman about women hormones than
no.
some dumb guy who's just
crazy.
In good shape.
If we're going to limit ourselves, like, we're going to go off on a tangent here. If we're going to limit who can help us to identical genders, we're screwed. Because there are some, like Jade Tita, for example, brilliant male mind on female hormones. And I don't think it's cringy at all that he uses his expertise.
But it depends on who this guy is. He could just be a physical trainer that's mouthing the words that are given to him.
Maybe, but I still don't think it's cringy just because he's a dude. Anyway, continue with the question.
Sorry for the long-winded email. Just wondering if there are any truths to these claims. I've heard specifically that they increase hunger and cravings.
Any workout has the potential to increase hunger and cravings. Period.
You got to fuel the machine.
Whether we're talking, I mean, honestly, like, is high intensity interval training great for fat loss? Sure. Is it for everybody? No. Is any workout, whether we're talking Zumba, whether we're talking speed walking, jogging, high intensity interval training, weightlifting, are any of those capable of increasing hunger and cravings? Yes. Every single one of them are. That doesn't mean every single one of them will, and it also doesn't mean that there aren't things we can do about it. So please know that any argument against, say, high-intensity interval training can probably be leveraged against any form of exercise.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So what we have to keep in mind is none of this, whether we're talking nutrition, whether we're talking workouts, whether we're talking budgeting, whether we're talking business building, whether we're talking relationships, no one strategy is applicable to every human everywhere, right? So the great thing about high-intensity interval training is that it tends to be shorter in duration and, of course, higher in intensity, as the name implies. The great thing for fat loss is that you create, and I've done full episodes on this, so I'm not going to go into the science, but you create this post-exercise oxygen consumption. It's like you're trying to play catch-up with fueling your body's oxygen needs. It's kind of like, have you ever, maybe you've been in a hotel or someplace where you have to go up like 2 or 3 flights of stairs, and you're fine until you get to the top, and at the top you feel winded? Have you ever had that experience?
Nope, it's usually step 2 or 3.
But a lot of people will experience that where it's like, fine, and then like, it's like you're catching up once the movement stops. And that is that post-movement excess oxygen consumption that is really powerful for fat loss. Now, where this argument comes into play, and no, I haven't seen the ads because ads are targeted and I just don't look at that kind of information, so they don't target me with those ads. But I have heard the argument that high-intensity interval training is like bad for women. Generally, the rationale there is that it creates a stress response and that most women are more sensitive to stressors. However, the truth is any exercise can cause a stress response. So these people, you know, they're just picking on one form of exercise for the sake of the promotion of their form, right? With that said, if somebody has adrenal fatigue, should they do high intensity anything? No. But most people don't have adrenal fatigue. And also, that is a period in time. That doesn't mean high-intensity interval training is off the table for you forever. It's kind of like if you are sick, recovering from surgery, something like that, should you do high-intensity training? No, because you don't need to add another stressor. But we could make that argument of anything, and it's a point in time. Absolutely, without a doubt, high-intensity interval training is effective for fat loss, as is a ton of other stuff, right? Heavy weight training is effective for fat loss. If you are worried about high intensity stuff, don't do it. Remember too that intensity is relative. My intensity right now at 9 months pregnant is not the same as what was intense to me 2 years ago, right? My mom's definition of intensity in a workout is very, very different from mine. So we have to be a little bit more nuanced in the reply. But are there times when intensity doesn't make sense? Yes. Are there times when intensity is really, really great and effective? Absolutely. Any workout can increase hunger and cravings. That is why you have to be sure that you warm up properly, that you eat properly, that you supplement as necessary, that you're rested. It's really not the exercise that is to blame. It's you not taking care of your body that is to blame. So a lot of people will exercise and then not fuel their body with enough protein or enough fat, or they won't get enough rest. And so that's what's driving the hunger and cravings, because the exercise was the added thing, but it's not the exercise's fault. It's their response to not meeting their body's needs. That's where that comes from. So I've done extensive episodes on high intensity interval training, and you can just go to primalpotential.com and search that if you want to learn more.
Wow.
Soapbox. Yeah. Those kinds of things get me fired up.
That's
but I
okay.
also don't think it's cringy for a dude to talk about female hormones.
That's all right. I was just trying to side with her.
I appreciate that
that's
you sided
all?
With her. I'm on no side. Just
that's all.
Just have an opinion. What you got for me next?
What do you think is the best first step to take if you want to reduce sugar cravings?
Eat less sugar.
Wow. Next question.
No, I mean, honestly.
That's pretty to the point.
First, a lot of people, and I've done same sort of thing. I've done probably at least 10 episodes just on cravings. So if this is a thing for you, go to primalpotential.com, search cravings, listen to those episodes, because I go into a lot more detail on not only the physical side of cravings, but also the mental, emotional side of cravings and response to cravings. But most people give way too much power to cravings. And the example I give is, how many times do you just want to like punch somebody in the face, right? They say something stupid or they cut you off in traffic and you're just like, oh my God, you know, I can't stand you, but you don't. And yet, when it comes to things like food, when people get that same urge, that like compelling, I really want whatever it is, they just act on it. We are so practiced in resisting impulse in other areas of our life. But then when it comes to food, we're like, oh my God, a sugar craving.
Yay.
And it wins. It beat me. It's stronger than me. No, it's not. No, it is not. You have impulse control. You demonstrate it in so many areas of your life. It's why you don't tell off your boss when you want to. It's why you don't, you know, say the thing to the person in the grocery store that you're thinking you want to say or whatever it is. Chris is sitting here because he doesn't have impulse control. But
because I do those things.
When it comes to like talking to other people. But like, let's not give so much power to the notion of a craving. We have desires all the time. We have impulses all the time. People have sexual impulses all the time. But you don't necessarily act on all of them. But when we feel like the stakes are lower, food, or we feel like it's more accessible or there won't be some negative repercussion, we act on it. There is a negative repercussion in your behavior and in your health. And we just have to, this is where maturity comes into play. And I know everybody gets a little sensitive when I, or a
Ouch.
Lot of people get a little sensitive when I use that word. But go back and listen to some of the episodes I've done on emotional maturity and emotional sobriety. The first step is to eat less sugar. And the step 1A, and these would compete for first for me, is stop acting like having a sugar craving is some sort of problem. Mm. Now, in the episodes I've done on cravings, I talk about like nutrient deficiencies and that sort of stuff, which can come into play. But to be very, very honest, 90% of the issue is how you think about it and the power you give to it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got more.
We got more.
We got a lot more. I know.
You sure we can't make this into two episodes?
Maybe.
What is the exact specific steps to remove the drama from any situation? Apathy.
Apathy, not caring. Yeah. It's so funny because we were actually having a conversation the other day about something, and we will not go into what it was. I know you're immediately going to know, and you're going to want to be like, bloop, 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 bloop.
Okay.
But we know that, let's just, yeah.
Okay.
I have to give him that warning, or all of a sudden he's going to start putting names out here. And it just
I won't
makes...
mention your mom again.
No, that's not what I meant.
I know. But she, when she said I called her boring, it's...
I know, that was really funny. My mom came over here the other day with flowers, And she was like, she went to your work and brought you cookies, which is so strange.
That was after the fact.
It was so strange. Like, A, never has she done that before.
Yeah.
Like, she drove to Chris's work and brought him cookies. Strangest thing ever.
But, like, they look like chocolate chip cookies. She snuck raisins in there instead.
Raisins. But anyway, the funny
thing
was,
delicious.
She said, like, because you called me boring on the podcast or something
that
like
that. That was over here before she brought those cookies.
The cookies were to make up for being boring. And I was like, I don't remember him ever calling you boring. And of course, my mom like turned something totally unrelated to boring into...
She has a boring way of folding laundry.
Yes.
That's what it was about.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know how
tangent,
I got off on that
done.
Tangent.
Drama.
The specific steps to removing drama from any situation... The reason that Chris says apathy is because I care a lot about what people think, especially like family. And Chris is like, just don't care. Just like, especially. So we have baby coming, right? And
we do.
There is a lot of like, because of what we've been through and because of the way the world is right now, like our first priority is to keep him safe. And we're not quite sure like what that's going to look like in terms of family and friends and timelines and all of that kind of stuff. And I really don't want anybody to be like hurt or upset. And Chris is like, who cares?
F them. if they're upset, that's their problem, not yours.
So Chris's answer would be apathy. It's so funny that this person says, what are the exact specific steps
there
to remove drama?
There is nothing exact or specific about it.
Well, not only that.
Because everyone's different and all the drama's different.
Every single situation is different. Every single one. But if you're going to... you know, ask for me to narrow it down to like generally a lot of the time, the first step would be changing your perspective, right? Because you can have a perspective that's like, oh my gosh, this is such a big deal. I'm so upset. They're so upset, blah, 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 blah. Or you can have a perspective of, you know what? It's not my problem. Or you know what? I don't have control over this. Or it's really not a big deal in the scheme of life. Or if I just disengage from this, there is no situation anyway.
I like to look at how highly I value the source of said drama.
But that's that's perspective, right?
You know, if I don't value it very high, I don't really care about that drama.
Even when you do. But there is no... exact specific step. Everybody wants things to be like so black and white, crystal clear. Everything is shades of gray. Everything is nuanced. But if I had to start with one starting point, I would say change your perspective.
Yes.
Moving right along.
Bang. Next
like
question.
27 questions.
What is edge and what is it for?
This came in a lot.
Man, if it's a knife, it's for cutting.
This came in a lot.
Yeah.
So a couple weeks ago, I think was the first time we started talking about it, 3 weeks ago, maybe?
A few weeks ago, yeah.
So it is a new drink supplement. So it's like a powder that you mix with water. It does taste really good. So that's why I kind of characterize it more of like as a drink, because I would really enjoy like something I would look
forward.
As opposed
to calling it just a supplement.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's not something, you know, like if I were mixing up greens, I'd be like, this is more of like a choke it down.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's a refreshing flavor. I
yeah, it really is. I'm looking forward to doing some mocktails and cocktails with it.
I am looking for. I'll have to ask if it's okay with alcohol.
It totally is.
No, I mean, if we still get the benefits with if the alcohol doesn't kill whatever is good.
No, it doesn't. It absolutely doesn't. Just trust
me. Speaking like you know. Like
I do know because I know what the ingredients
are. I've been testing them when I'm not home.
No. Okay. So it targets three areas: mood, motivation, and metabolism. And the thing that I like most about it is that it's first caffeine free because I don't do a lot of caffeine. And because that makes it more kind of universal in when you can take it. I tend to be more reserved in when I take things that have caffeine. I'm not going to have them in the afternoon, that sort of thing. So it's caffeine-free, it's calorie-free, and then, of course, sugar-free, gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, vegan, all of those things. It has just three ingredients, and all three are plant-based, and they work to increase your mood, and it works specifically kind of by increasing brain-derived nootropic factor, or BDNF, and it also helps to shift you into preferentially burning fat. Like it influences your metabolism to kind of prefer fat burning over sugar burning. I noticed this because I got a pre-market 30-day supply of it. I noticed that happening because my appetite went down dramatically. And that was one of the signs that my body was preferentially burning fat. A lot of other people, there was like, I don't know, maybe 50 of us who got to try it for a month before it came out. And the people who were not pregnant were experiencing weight loss.
Well, even you did experience a little bit of weight loss even being pregnant.
Yeah.
Nothing crazy, but
no,
I mean.
No, I know. But people are going to hear that and be like,
sorry, everyone.
Everybody, I'm healthy.
She gained weight. It's... My bad.
yeah.
It was a couple pounds.
Story for another day.
Crazy.
Story for another day. I did a webinar on all of the details. So I'll put that in the show description for people who are curious and want to learn more. It's a pretty short webinar, but it goes through kind of like what it is, how it works, all that stuff. I'll also put the link to where you can order it, but I'm like so excited. I think our stuff might come in like within the next week.
I hope so.
I really hope
I'm really looking forward to actually taking it daily and seeing all the benefits, whereas I've only gotten a couple of tastes of it.
Let's keep on rolling.
All right.
Hi. Rolling.
I was thinking about trying your 12-week to transformation program, good. But now you've sung, so I'm done.
Whatever.
I'm a little nervous to spend the money and a little nervous that it's self-driven. Mm. Are there any live options? I have so much to work on, I don't even know where to start.
So the 12 Weeks to Transformation is a great place to start. And the cool thing about it is that the tools that we introduce in the 12 Weeks to Transformation are exactly what people need who feel like, I'm doing this, and now I'm doing this, and I've got this as well. So for people who feel like, I've got so many areas I want to improve, and I don't know where to start, and I don't, you know, that overwhelmed mentality or that sense of kind of defeat before you've even gotten started, that is why it was created. So go to primalpotential.com/register and read all of the information because, and where there's like things that expand and stuff, make sure to read all of that stuff too. I think that'll really clear it up for you. In terms of, you know, nervous about spending the money, I get that. I have spent terrifying amounts of money on self-improvement and business development. And I will tell you, that is, if there was ever a shortcut to success, that's it. Investing in getting support and help and tools instead of continuing to try and do it on your own. I really believe that these kinds of things don't cost money, they make money, right? They're not expenses, they are investments. The payoff is much, much greater than the price. And, you know, obviously everything takes work and everything takes effort. But if there was ever a shortcut to success, and I know that successful people everywhere would agree with me, it is in paying for support, guidance, tools where you need them. That's what I have to say about the money. Nervous that it's self-driven. The key is we have to develop those skills. For people who don't trust that they're going to follow through, that they're going to do the work, that they're going to execute, you know, I'm somebody that starts off strong and then I drift. That's why you need this. We have to develop the skills to be accountable to ourselves. We have to, if we want to be successful long-term, develop those skills to feel confident being self-driven. So the answer isn't, I need somebody who's like checking in on me regularly, somebody that's doing, you know, those kinds of things. No, that is not the answer. The answer is in investing in something that gives you these tools and teaches you and shows you how to practice. So that's that. There is a forum in the 12 Weeks to Transformation where you can ask questions and I do answer them. So if you're ever like, oh, I don't know what to do or I'm really struggling, first, we have all sorts of resources already available in there for exactly those kinds of things. Because look, I've been doing this program for 6 years almost. I've created resources and challenges and tools for all of those things. I'm not motivated. I'm frustrated. I drifted. I don't know how to get back on track. No matter what it is, those are in there. But also through the discussion board, if you have a question, I'm going to see it and I'm going to answer. So that's what I would have to say about that. But primalpotential.com/register to learn all the details of how that works.
This is probably from a potential sponsor. Hmm? Did you decide to drop the sponsors from your podcast? It depends. How much are you willing to pay?
I mean, no. So people who have been listening for a long time probably remember when I used to do, you know, this episode was brought to you by Fabletics, or this episode was brought to you by Thrive Market. A couple things happened. So one, the way podcast sponsors work kind of changed, right? And also with Fabletics, for example, I got to the point with that one specifically where I don't buy workout clothes enough to stay excited talking about it, right? And I get pitches from sponsors every week. Sometimes I get 10 a week, sometimes I get 2 a week, but everybody wants airtime on shows that do well. And statistically speaking, this is a show that does far better than average. The challenge is I don't want to do like ad reads, you know? If you're a podcast listener, you've probably seen on other shows, they'll sort of break from the message and be like, and that's not my style.
Yeah.
I don't love that. I'm not saying I would never do that.
But I mean, you're not a radio show, and that kind of makes it like a radio show.
And a lot of podcasts aren't radio shows, but they still do that. I don't think it's super effective because from my standpoint, and I could change my mind on this, and I know that it's very, very profitable for a lot of big shows. When I'm listening to a show and it goes to ad, I kind of check out. Right? Mm-hmm. What's more effective for me is when I know somebody genuinely loves a product and I trust them. So I got to the point with Fabletics where it's like, do I have a lot of their clothes? Sure. Do I buy regularly? No. And so I just lost the enthusiasm for talking about it regularly. So it didn't make sense to continue that partnership. With Thrive, they changed their approach for a while.
Yeah, they did.
And I was just like, okay, that's fine. You get to do that. But also, we don't really order that much from Thrive anymore, primarily because most of their all of their products really are non-perishables, and we don't do a lot of non-perishables. No, we do Butcher Box for our meat.
Yep.
We buy fish locally here, mm-hmm. and then 90% of what we buy is fresh.
Right.
So that, you know, that was just a transition kind of mutually. Me away from using their services so much and them away. Even like the Primal Kitchen mayo, like we don't use that very much anymore.
Really? No.
Yeah. Like we just kind of got a little bit more clean in the way we purchase groceries and things like that. And their model changed. However, and I won't spend too much time on this. We'll move along really quickly. But I do talk about products that you could count as an ad. It's just not a traditional ad read on the show. So like, for example, Fatco. I'm obsessed with their skincare, and I have been for, I don't know, years.
Use this link and code.
Yeah. You don't even need a link. Like, I have the code. If you use the code Primal on any FATCO.com, Fatco.com purchase, you save 10%. And I see like a few pennies on the dollar, like maybe a penny on the dollar. It's not significant money, but like that is a type of advertising. Right. And also when I talk about the Changemakers Journal, mm-hmm. when I talk about Breaking Barriers, when I talk about my Ascend event that's coming up in the fall.
Every episode brought to you by Primal Potential.
Yeah, like those are also ads. So I didn't decide to drop sponsors. There are a couple of brands that honestly, if I have not pursued them, I haven't given it the time, but if I do or if I hire somebody to, there are some dream brands that I would love to work with, like Junk Headbands. I love their headbands. I'm a huge fan. I talk about them. I buy them. If they wanted to be a sponsor on the show, I would absolutely try that out and see if that works. There are a few other such brands, but I just haven't made it a business priority to pursue them. So that's that.
Okay. I am wanting you to continue with the transparency that you've had during this pregnancy.
Okay.
How are you feeling that you are nearing delivery? What is going through your head? What questions are you asking yourself that help you? I can change up the tone of this real quick if you let me. How are you feeling about nearing delivery? What's going through your head?
Don't shout at the people, Christopher.
You had it coming. You know who you are.
Okay. I'm happy to be transparent, right? I mean, how am I feeling as I'm nearing delivery? It's mixed. I am super excited to meet baby boy. I'm also really sad that Dagny's not here.
Of course.
It's very reminiscent. You know, it's only been 13 months and change since Dagny was here. So it is very fresh. And, you know, it's tough because my pregnancy with Dagny was pretty unremarkable, like very typical complaints, nothing alarming. Even though my delivery was not what we expected, I spiked a fever, I had a C-section, all of that.
Right.
After she was born, nobody, I mean, they biopsied my placenta. They ran all sorts of tests and everything came back normal. And so we had no idea that anything was wrong until it was too late.
Yeah, 36, 38 hours
before she died. Yeah. We had no idea. And so as I'm nearing this delivery, that scares me.
Right.
Because I'm not really consoled by everything's fine. He's doing fine. You're doing fine. Because in my mind, I'm like,
that's all we were told.
Yeah. Like Dagny was too. So I am super excited to see him on all the ultrasound pictures. I think he looks just like Dagny, which
they both have your nose.
Yeah, but I think that generally,
and that's the big feature you can really see.
I see more than that. You don't look very closely. Chris isn't really like into, you don't care a whole lot about those kinds of things.
No.
I
mean, you know, let everybody judge me. I'm into the, let me see him when he gets here.
Yeah,
okay, there's
no,
a picture.
Fine. So I am feeling physically all right. I'm not sleeping a lot.
No. Nope.
but I'm coping with that. Like it doesn't really interfere with life too much. Yeah. It just interferes with evenings. What is going through my head? Just
panic. Pure panic.
I'm not panicked. For those of you that don't know Chris, he's just joking.
Oh yeah. Oh God, no.
I just want him to be okay.
Yeah. That's like, really all we can ever ask. And give us a healthy boy.
Yeah, that's, I,
only because we know it's a boy. If it was earlier, I don't care what the gender is.
Yeah, Chris doesn't care at all. The primary thing going through my head is I want him to be healthy. I would prefer to not have a C-section for right. many, many reasons, though there's nothing wrong with that as a delivery method. But just because of the number of children we hope to have.
And your experience with the last one, the recovery was rough.
It was. And I mean, surely it was complicated by other factors and not really being able to rest because of everything that happened with Dagny. But what are the questions you're asking yourself to help you? That's a good question. Really what I try to come back to, and it's not so much of a question, what I try to come back to is right now there's nothing I can do. You know, there's nothing I can do differently right now to keep him healthy. There's nothing I can do differently right now to guarantee that he'll be healthy. And so I guess the question would be like, what is the best thing I can do right now? Because I will very frequently catch myself in fear. Fear that something bad will happen, even after he's born and Chris is back to work and I'm home and like, am I going to be okay? Is it going to be very reminiscent of Dagny? Like, is that going to be hard for me? What do I need to do right now? Because I can't answer those questions. They can consume my mind all day, but it's not a productive space to be in. So I'll just come back to what can I do right now to be as healthy as possible mentally and physically. And sometimes I just need to like lay down. Sometimes I need to like watch a funny movie and take my mind off of something. Sometimes I just need to get back to whatever I'm doing, or I need to go outside and go for a short walk. But anchoring myself to right now instead of getting lost in the worry. That's what I would say.
There you go.
Are you doing anything?
No. Nope.
Building stuff outside.
I mean, yeah, I am. Building stuff outside, inside, everywhere.
Yeah.
What are you doing to get ready for labor? How are you preparing for delivery of baby boy differently? Staying calm ideas? Well, I'll tell you how she's getting ready for labor. She's coming up with lists 37 items long for me to do every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Chris, you got to get these done. I know. Oh, and we got to do this too. Oh, and this too. And don't forget those other things. But, I mean, that's more of a joke than anything. Cause
welcome
it's like
to marriage.
It's like a seven item list. And I think I've
and you've had it for, months.
I think I've got 4 of the 7 crossed off. Maybe 5 of the 7 crossed off.
Which you promised it would be done by April 15th.
Well, I'm waiting for April 15th, 2022.
You didn't put a year on there.
Exactly. That could be 2025. We don't know.
Oh, God.
Life insurance is my next big one. Don't worry, honey.
The interesting one is, how are you preparing for the delivery of baby boy differently? I don't think I'm doing anything differently.
No. I mean, a different hospital.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not.
We'll have a doula with us. That's
different. Oh, that is true. That is true. We did hire a doula.
Chris is paying attention.
We did hire a doula because of our desire to avoid a C-section if possible.
Right.
And I know that me advocating for that and having those conversations while in labor is a bit of a challenge. So we just wanted somebody who understood, like, number one priority is that baby is healthy. Period. Full stop. If that means we take him out through my nose, that's what it means.
Oh, it's going to be painful.
But aside from that, you know, the doctors want me to have a C-section, you know, because it's in, out, scheduled, you know, low risk in terms of variables. They eliminate a lot of variables that way. And I'm not against a C-section if that is the healthiest way. Because I know everybody's going to come out and be like, there's nothing wrong with having a C-section.
Unless you want 37 kids.
I just would prefer, if possible, to do everything we can to have a vaginal birth. If I end up having a C-section, I end up having a C-section. Yeah. Like, it's whatever is best for me and for baby. But we thought she would be helpful in advocating
for
that.
Absolutely.
So that is the only thing that we're doing differently. What am I doing to get ready for labor? I'm not.
You've already packed?
Yeah. I mean, I wish I could say that I'm doing all of the, like, stretching and yoga and all. I'm not.
You're doing acupuncture?
I do acupuncture. I see the chiropractor.
So doing things.
Yeah. I have little, like, needle stickers in my hands right now.
Yep.
But I would love to be like the picture of the perfect pregnancy and being like, I'm doing the 30-minute yoga prenatal DVD. No, I'm not. I'm not. I've done it a few times. I don't do it regularly. I don't sit on a chair because that's just really bad for your hips and your back and your alignment. I sit on the ball all day, literally. Like, it's what's at my desk. Staying calm ideas. I don't know. I'm not. No, here's where I'm at with that. It is okay that this is scary and sad and stressful and exciting. And it's all fine. You know, I mean, I am somebody who I'm thinking back to, like, when I had my internal exams at the end of my pregnancy with Dagny. I am very intentional about my breathing. Even when I was having contractions, like, that's a big thing for me. So I think I'm always practicing controlling my breath through meditation, which I think is a big help. But beyond that, I haven't done much to prepare mentally because I'm sort of like, it'll be what it'll be.
Yeah.
And that's part of staying calm. I don't feel like I have to, you know, be prepared having done all the things and all, like, could I have done 75 different things? Yes. Have I? No. And that's part of how I stay calm. I think that's all we have.
I want to add a little bit.
Okay.
I want to say thank you to Paige Carter because she actually sent me a piece of fan mail.
Oh.
So thank you, Paige Carter.
Is that your first piece
of
fan mail?
You're the first.
Oh.
Who wasn't actually telling me they were a winner.
What did it say?
She just says, here's some fan mail for you.
Because you requested it. But okay, it's
checks in the mail, Paige.
What did she say?
No, she said she's thankful that I'm a part of your team. She started listening to you back in 2016 and have so enjoyed my addition to your team in life.
Oh, that's sweet.
She says you appear happier and more patient as a result. That's because I'm like a big child and she needs to learn patience.
So true.
She really enjoys hearing how I love her in many of the things that I do. And you're so deserving of somebody better than me. Wait a minute. Somebody like me.
Oh, that's
but
sweet.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Paige.
You're the best.
Thanks, Paige.
Second
That's
best, because
really
Elizabeth is the best. As we know.
All right, we got to give away our Changemakers journal.
We do have a winner.
Don't forget, though, it is now free shipping in the U.S., so
yes.
Check it out. Okay, who's the winner? You were doing so well.
Congratulations. That wasn't even reading. That was just my mouth and my brain going, pih.
Who's our winner?
All right. Our winner is at Love Life.
No.
I'm assuming that's what they mean in this. It's at Amour Life. And everybody knows Amour means love.
But isn't it two R's?
There is two R's there, but that's what they're getting at.
Amour Life. Love Life. I like it. You are the winner. All you have to do is email Christopher@primalpotential.com within 60 days of this episode airing. Tell him you are the winner of the Changemakers Journal in episode 875. And no matter where you are in the world, we will get it to you.
Your inflection of that was way different in meaning than mine.
What do you mean?
Love life as love life.
Oh, like you're thinking like brown
this is not a
brown
this
cow.
Is not a brown chicken brown cow one. Maybe it is. I bet you they'll let us know in the email.
You know, is that sexual or is that not sexual?
Is this a live laugh love kind of life or is this a getting down? Well, thank you everybody for joining us on Saturday.
Oh yeah.
We'll see you next week.
Take care, guys.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the Primal Potential podcast, where our goal is not to help you learn. Our goal is to help you change. This is a year of action. Take something you learned from this episode and put it into action in your life today. To learn more about working more closely with me and the Primal Potential team, please visit primalpotential.com/transform.